Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Gentlemen, please welcome
to Wild and Crazy Nights!
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Hogan for the win.
We're in the middle corner!
We're going to consistently put players in position to succeed. Most important piece is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
From CHGO, it's Adam Hogan.
I don't think that this is a full rebuild, but you definitely have to retool your roster.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Hey, what's up, Flus?
And we're going to have measurable ways for standards of performance every single rep, every single game.
Anyway, who cares?
Now, here they are, the Adams, Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in Hogan Johns plus Kevin Fishbane with you on the Friday morning of the NFL draft after the Bears landed not just Caleb Williams, but also Rome Odunze. As we've been telling you for months how important the wide receiver position is and why they would draft a wide receiver, Johns, we nailed it.
Well, we knew Rome Odunze was a potential top 10 pick. I'm still blown away by the Atlanta Falcons decision.
Yeah.
Because like there were even the Bears own mock draft simulations. Yes, the Bears run mock drafts, call them simulations, whatever you want. Like it was a 50-50 shot that Rome Odunze would be there. And then when the Atlanta Falcons take Michael Penix, Kevin, you and I were in the Zoom call with Caleb Williams and you like tapped me. Hey, did you see this? And like, I wonder if like Caleb saw our faces. We're both like, what just happened? Like, it still blows my mind a little bit because that's what really opened the door for this in a sense.
Yeah. And I think you guys kind of sold me on the net. They don't need a wide receiver, focus on the line, build inside out, all that stuff. But I also think all three of us were operating under the very real assumption he wasn't going to be there, which is an assumption that GM Ryan Poles was also operating under. I think Jets and Bills, I expected both of them to be trying to trade up to 8 once Odunze was still there. And then it gets to 9. I just kept telling people, like, I would get it if they went line, but if Odunze's there, that's going to be really hard to say no.
Well, we appreciate everybody watching us live this morning. We haven't done a live show in a while, but this called for, you know, sort of a post-game episode. And make sure you're following us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, at K Fishbane. Johnsy and Fishbane were both at House Hall last night. Of course, was at our CHGO draft party at Joe's on Weed Street. Still tickets available tonight if you want to come out and celebrate what's been going on for another night. It is Friday night in the city. I also want to give a shout out to Midtown because they hooked me up for the weekend to be able to stay down here with everything going on. Apparently they gave me the Caleb Williams suite. You know, with the skyline. Yeah,
it's like you're in the Bears' new stadium, and you got that outside window looking at the skyline.
I missed most of the stadium stuff the other day.
You're okay. It's good. It's okay if you did.
The renderings look pretty cool, though. I still have a lot of questions, but we can handle that at a different time. But yeah, it's last night was a look. You guys probably saw the videos. I mean, And it was a little, honestly, it was a little surreal. I mean, we've seen excitement over draft picks before, but the Caleb Williams thing we've known was coming for weeks. So like, it was almost like a tempered excitement when it finally got announced. Cause it was like, yeah, we know. But when the Roma Dunze thing happened, I mean, our party and that room was packed, which was crazy to see it packed to begin with. I mean, that was sort of, even just covering this team for 14 years or whatever it's been, like sort of a pinch me moment of like, this just feels different. Like they didn't overthink things. They just took it, in my opinion, was easily the best player available at that point. And the fans just went crazy. It was pretty cool.
So if you're the Bears, you're concerned about the Titans at number 7, right? Could take a receiver. If Roma Dunze is really top 7, top 10 potential, an option there. Then at the Falcons, you're concerned about potential trade-ups in there. Oh, heck, you could even be fearful that they could take him at number 8, given how valuable he is to your own board if you're the Chicago Bears. So you can understand the anxiety that Ryan Poles expressed to us yesterday. And then you can appreciate the exhilaration that he felt when Michael Penix's name is turned in and Roma Dunze is there for the taking. You know, when we went through that exercise, those three arguments, and I had the receivers, like there's one thing I kind of overlooked is just how much separation there was between the top three receivers and like everybody else. Because I think you saw that play out in the draft a little bit, yep. Where the offensive tackles maybe were a little more grouped together. I obviously saw that major run on them in the first round, but those top three receivers, Harrison, Neighbors, and Adunze. And then it was like everybody else, like long after that. There was a serious separation on the Bears board in their grades with amongst those receivers.
It might be the best 1-2 punch the Bears have drafted first and second since, what, Kevin White, Eddie Goldman? Mitch Trubisky, Adam Shaheen?
Stop it.
Kyle Fuller, Ego Ferguson?
Ryan Poles, he didn't want to talk about the past anymore.
Not talking about the past. You know, it's interesting because 3 years ago, when the Bears traded up for Justin Fields and then trade up again for Tevin Jenkins, there was this excitement, I mean, palpable excitement in town because of Fields, because of Jenkins. But it's so different to pick these guys at 1 and 9 where you don't have to trade up for either of them. And there's so fewer question marks about them. And I just think, too, and we've been talking about this for months, like these guys are going to an established team that's ready to compete for a division right now. And I just think the energy from these two, the energy in the city, and just this foundation that Ryan Poles has built, like you can feel excitement. And the other thing, too, is like, there's something to be said about taking a fantasy football player as opposed to an offensive lineman, right? Like we all would have understood an offensive lineman or a Byron Murphy or an edge rusher, but there's just something sexy about taking the receiver that just makes everybody a little bit more excited. And to add to that, I think it's also cool that the Bears took two players that were incredible college football players. Like how many times, and not just Ryan Pace, Ryan Poles has done this too. Have we seen this team draft guys that have great measurables, but it's a projection. Okay. I wrote this yesterday. Caleb Williams is the most decorated, highly touted player the Bears have drafted probably since Dick Butkus. And before that, Johnny Lujack. I mean, like that's how far back you have to go to find a player that was that good in college. And then they get an All-American in Roma Dunze. It's 1,400 yards last year. So, I mean, it's pretty mind-boggling that they were able to pull this off, especially for a team that has had so many draft flops.
Consensus All-American, first team All-Pac-12, led the FBS in receiving yards, 83-yard punt return touchdown, 14-yard rushing TD, team captain. That's in the beast, just a little snippet there.
You know, you guys know I've been high in Rome, like a lot of people. He ended up third on our Bears 100 board at CHGO. It's just kind of crazy to think that they landed, you know, our board went Caleb, Marvin Harrison, and then Roma Dunze. And I think in many years, like Roma Dunze is easily your top wide receiver in the draft. And this just happened to be a year where Marvin Harrison Jr. is just sort of that crazy generational talent. So he's bumped up there. And then I think with Malik Nabers, it's more of a pick your flavor type situation. And look, Malik Nabers is going to be a really good player in this league too. I think he came with a couple extra question marks off the field. Whereas Roman Odunze is, to me, a really clean prospect. And while, you know, Nabers might have more of that crazy highlight ceiling, Odunze does everything, like a little bit of everything, really, really well. And like as Paul said last night in his press conference, you can line him up anywhere. You know, his contested catch rates are ridiculous. His ability to adjust to the football, I think, in the air is up there with Marvin. That's the actually one thing where I think Odunze can actually say is better than Marvin Harrison Jr., the way he adjusts to the football in the air. And, you know, he's bigger than Nabers too. He's taller. He's heavier. And when you throw in the punt return ability, which I don't necessarily think they're going to use him as the punt returner, but they could because he's not their number one wide receiver. And that's another part of this I don't know if we're talking about enough, is like as much as they've insulated Caleb Williams here to be in a good situation, they've done it with Roma Dunze too. Wide receivers, as good as they are, usually have an adjustment period in the NFL. But Odunze doesn't have to come here and be the number one guy and put up 1,400 yards next year in the NFL. He just has to kind of be the third guy, and he probably will still get a ton of targets and have a great rookie year. But they're putting him in a position too where they're not putting a lot of pressure on him to produce right away. And I think that's, you know, going to be incredibly helpful for him as well.
Adam, we were discussing this last night in the media room. Is this the best supporting cast that we've seen the Bears build for a quarterback since 2013? I already think it's better than 2018. As exciting as that year was, this is better than Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, and Trey Burton. This rivals Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte, and Martellus Bennett, with the potential, gosh, by maybe the second year in Caleb Williams' career, as he takes that step from year one to year two, to be better than that, right? Like, this rivals 2013.
Yeah, I think in terms of the weapons that he has to throw to, this is better. I think the question mark is, and probably when the dust settles here on the draft and we start diving into OTAs and things like that, we'll have more discussions about the offensive line and just where it's at. Because I think that's where the question marks still are. You know, Braxton Jones, can he continue to develop at left tackle? Can Tevin Jenkins stay healthy? Can Nate Davis in his second year be a little bit more consistent now that he's more settled in Chicago? I still think center is a question mark. You know, that's sort of a prove it position. And then you need Darnell Wright to take the next step at right tackle. This offensive line, I still think, has a lot to prove. And so if there is one area where you're concerned with what they've put around Caleb Williams, it's still, can they protect him consistently? And I don't know that we're going to have that answer until we start to actually see games played.
Well, I had this thought last night as all the offensive tackles are coming off the board. And we talked about it at length, right? Great offensive line class, especially a tackle. A lot could go in the first round. Are we all guilty of underrating, like, everything that Ryan Poles has said about Braxton Jones? That he's just not talking up his players? That he actually is being candid? That he believes in what he's saying? That Braxton Jones is his left tackle, even though you have Olufoshanu there, you're okay passing on him because you believe in Braxton Jones? Just a thought from last night.
See, I think there should be a requirement in the NFL that after you make your first round pick, every team is required to release their actual draft board. Yeah. Right? Because I'd love to know where Joe Alt was. Like, is there any chance Joe Alt was still ahead of Roma Dunze, even though they ended up with Roma Dunze? And by the way, wouldn't that be fun if they actually had to do that? Like, first round's over. All 32 teams, you got to release at least what your top 10 was or something like that.
Well, then you could also call out the GMs who were lying when they say, oh, he was the top guy on our board.
Yeah.
Because my thought was, if let's say Jets trade up to 8 and take Odunze, do the Bears then take a shot? You know, so I do think that it's one of those things with Braxton where, like, I think they're happy with him, but maybe they would have been open if the right guy was there. What's amazing about Odunze is you drafted an incredible player who complements who you have so well, right? When you think about the skill sets and what DJ Moore, Keenan Allen do, like if they drafted a receiver who was really good but did the exact same things as those two, you'd be like, well, how is this going to work? But you could see how Shane Waldron is going to make this work. And John Z, a note on the 2013 team, because we were talking about this last night. Remember, that team finished second in the NFL in scoring. They did have some help from some pick sixes that year. That team had the worst defense in Bears history. So you look at the weapons the Bears have put around Caleb Williams, and you factor in the fact that this is definitely a top 10 defense next season. Frankly, like, I mean, I do think we're going to continue to kind of remind everybody Caleb's a rookie, and rookie quarterbacks generally don't take teams to the playoffs. What CJ Stroud did last year was amazing, but like that, he's the exception. It's going to be hard to kind of temper them with everything around Caleb, but the defense is there, the weapons are there, and this guy is that good.
Thumbs up, dude. Yeah. But to that point, Kev, like I think that, you know, with what the Bears have given Caleb here with the wide receivers, and even with what I just brought up with the question mark being what the question marks still are on the offensive line, his skill set, like his game, when you really watch Caleb's tape, I think fits to still being able to have success early with him. And if the one concern about Caleb is trying to coach him down a little bit, which is a term that I've brought up a couple times, like if his faults are just trying to do the home run a little bit too much, like he's not gonna have to do that now with these three wide receivers and these two tight ends. Like let's not forget Gerald Everett and Cole Kmet here too. There's gonna be safety valves all over the field. And so I almost picture, like, I know people don't want to see the Bears come out and run all those bubble screens like they did in Minnesota last year, but even if the offensive line's a concern, you can be somewhat horizontal and have a lot more success with it just because Caleb is that much faster than Justin Fields was in terms of just getting the ball out. Like, all those frustrations that the Bears themselves had with that issue with Justin, Caleb... Like, I can't wait for Bears fans to see this if they haven't seen it enough. And he didn't do it a lot at USC because they're trying to hit the home run all the time. But when they did say, hey, look, just flip it out to Jordan Addison on the right side, you know, shotgun, snap, catch, throw. And he'd do these sidearm flicks. And this is where it comes back to Aaron Rodgers. And Caleb Williams brings up Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's really in his game, his ability to change his arm angles, just get the ball out, get the ball to the weapons 5 yards away and let that guy go to work. Like, they're going to be able to do that right away in week one. At least they should be able to, even if the offensive line isn't completely dialed in.
It's also who you're throwing those quick screens to, right? To who, too, right? Like, it's not Taylor Gabriel. It's not even Darnell Mooney. It's DJ Moore. You know, I'm not sure if you're throwing him to Keenan Allen, but it's Rome Odunze. Like, it's a different level of player. You have two top 20 receivers on your roster. You just drafted another one with the 9th overall pick. Like, this is, it's honestly, like, in covering the Bears, there's like some unbelievable ability. It's kind of unbelievable to think about. Like, this is what they've assembled for the rookie quarterback, knowing what we saw Mitch Trubisky walk into 2017, knowing the situation that Justin Fields had in 2021. It's just vastly different. Vastly different.
Do you guys remember when, I know we're not supposed to talk about the past, but remember when the Bears traded for Dontrell Inman and he became Mitch Trubisky's best receiver in 2017?
Yeah. Mid-season 7th round pick trade. I remember thinking, if that's the move you're making, and he's being instantly anointed like the top guy, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. I am with Ryan Poles, by the way, on that.
Yeah.
Stop with the past comparisons. Well, like, he has nothing to do with a color. He has
nothing to do with it. I'm going to keep bringing them up because they're fun.
What I thought was interesting, though, about that was not necessarily what came out of his mouth, but how his body reacted. He literally cringed. I was watching on YouTube and I actually went back to kind of rewatch it again in the moment because, like, you could tell he was agitated, like, even like thinking about how much the past comes up and how much like he has to is sort of in charge of overcoming that. Like, it bothered him to like even have to like address that. And like, we'll see, so that part was super interesting.
I'll say, we'll see if Greenberg gets in the building today. That's his question.
Or Potts. Potsy had an unbelievably positive tweet this morning. I don't like
Potsy's very optimistic, and he doesn't like this whole portrayal of him as being a pessimist.
Okay. I think the Bears broke Potsy. There's too much optimism going around here. It's going too well.
Do you want me to read that? Go ahead.
Well, I'll say it's funny because like we've all covered this team's drafts for over a decade. And every time they draft a guy, I think it's not that we get excited, but it's fun. It's different. It's like, here's this guy. He was highly touted. Here's how he fits. And we kind of explain what the Bears say, what the Bears like. We did it with Kevin White. Like in the moment, we were like, yeah, this guy's the second best receiver in the draft. The Bears need a receiver. Look at the size, speed, athleticism, right? Like we do some semblance of this every year. And I think that allows us to have the perspective to explain why what happened last night is so above and beyond anything this team has done in recent history. Because you always get excited about these guys. And this is just so different. It's a special time, I think, for Bears fans to be excited about this team.
Fun fact, you know the Carolina Panthers traded up again? For a receiver last night to end the first round of the draft? What are they doing? Yeah,
Xavier Leggett, right, with that last pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Let me just read Poles' quote. From last night, since we're around this point. So he was asked about, from our John Greenberg, about the franchise's history of just bad quarterback play, right? And Caleb wanted to talk about that. I think he just kind of wanted to get a feel for everybody in the organization, what we were about in terms of, like, what's our direction? What's our North Star? How are we going to get there? And I think through our actions, we've shown that you know, the history is the history. This is where he's getting this. Like, he's now, can you visualize him getting like upset? This is where like he kind of moved back in his chair. Poles continued, like, I'm kind of done talking about it. You go back so much all the time and all of those days are over. So we're bringing players in here that we really want to just change everything up and do things a different way. Obviously we love our history, but it hasn't been smooth recently and it's time to change. So I feel like we've got to stop going back all the time.
And that's all great, and I totally understand why he feels that way. I thought it was like a cool moment at the press conference, but like the other side of this is like, okay, now it's all here on paper. Like the Bears have to now show it. And I don't think there's any reason to doubt that they will here. But when I say that, it's got to be more than just like, okay, things start coming together this year, like 2018, right? Like it starts coming together. Maybe they have a 12-win season because it all starts to come together. You know, who knows? But then can you keep it there? Can you not then fall off the map? And I think, you know, obviously if they get the quarterback right here and we all think that they're on the right track with that, that definitely helps with, keeping consistency.
He's the one. The great eraser, right? Mm-hmm. Who keeps you competitive regardless of the situation around him, right? And for all the criticisms of Caleb Williams this year, like, that's what he did at USC. That defense was awful, right? We know the stat about them allowing, you know, over 35 points and all their losses and whatnot, right? Like, but Caleb Williams off here. His off year. Look at those numbers, those offensive numbers. And they were in those games, a lot of those games against the Pac-12, right? They were competitive to a certain point, and that was because of Caleb Williams. Did he play hero ball too much? Maybe, but because he had to. He kept them competitive. They had a winning record still. That was not a good team, but they still had a winning record. They were undefeated at one point.
Yeah, is it somebody mentioned, I got a question and it was like, hey, you know, Caleb Williams had a bit of a down year last year. I'm like, Caleb Williams down year, he was like a top five quarterback in the country. Like statistically, he still was like one of the best in the country.
He had 30 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. And the thing that I feel like people definitely don't realize, his yards per attempt actually went up.
Yeah.
Like, yes, his overall yardage came down, his passing yards, because of the season they had. They didn't have the ball as much. Their defense sucked. Like, there weren't as many passing attempts. But when you actually look what he did, his passing yards per attempt went up from his Heisman year. And then that was his bad year. Like, it doesn't – like, okay, if that's his bad – so someone said it last night on our show. Like, that's an Aaron Rodgers bad year. No, 30. He only had 30 touchdowns. Still, yeah, only threw 5 interceptions.
You know, I always joke with people to give another thing about these two guys. When leading up to the Bears draft, if friends or family say, who do you want the Bears to pick? I always say, whoever gives the best interviews. Like, that's my priority. You know, the Bears failed in that a lot. And coincidentally, also, those players weren't very good either. These guys are very comfortable. And obviously, we don't know how challenging it's going to be for Caleb Williams the first time he has a bad game in this market, in this city, in this spotlight. But how many interviews did he do last night in Detroit? And how many interviews did Rome Odunze do? And how many interviews have these guys done in college? Like they're ready for this, especially Williams. Like, these guys don't feel fazed by the moment, by the city, by the spotlight. And, you know, that could certainly change if things get off to a rocky start. But, you know, just from a how can they handle adversity? You know, Ryan Pohl said the best thing that could have happened to Caleb Williams was to have those losses last year. And I think Ryan Pohl's probably – it seems like reading the tea leaves, the Bears probably said to Caleb Williams at some point, like, hey, some of the ways you responded, like maybe like not talking to the media, that's not going to happen here. And there's certain things you have to do about that. But, like, these guys are ready for this. And that's pretty cool to have to draft players who are not only ready on the field to just step right in, but are ready for everything that comes with being a rookie in Chicago.
Like, I know it's not everything, and maybe it's just us as media members, as seasoned beat veterans of this team dating back to the Lovie Smith days, but it did feel notable that Caleb Williams did interview after interview after interview after interview after interview after interview yesterday in Detroit, which included doing a Zoom with us. He felt like he enters the Zoom and I just like give a wave and he waves back. I don't know why that felt notable, but that felt like something. When the Bears had to end the Zoom call early because of what happened with Atlanta and the 9th pick coming up, and Caleb Williams felt like almost shocked by it. Like he wanted to keep going to talk to us, right? Like that felt notable to me as someone who has covered this team for more than a decade. Now, I know it's minor, and I know some readers, listeners are probably rolling their eyes, but those interactions are important. I still believe we could be a conduit between the fans and these players in a sense. And I think Caleb Williams, just in terms of first impressions, his first day of being an official Chicago Bear, he embraces everything that comes with being the face of the franchise on and off the field.
And when it comes to Rome, like I remember his press conference in Indy, that being the first time, you know, I got a chance to talk to him at least. And I was just like, that's the most entertaining dude at this entire combine. Like that would be great if the Bears got him. And they ended up with Rome Odunze too. And I think he's going to be look, both these guys are going to be fan favorites, but Rome Odunze, I think if you polled Bears fandom going into this draft, like who is the number one guy they wanted outside, you know, to add to Caleb Williams, like that was the fan favorite. That was the fans' pick. And again, I just go back to the moment last night at Joe's when that pick happened. Like it was louder. It was crazier than Caleb. It was just, it was a surreal moment. And on top of that, his interviews, how I think he's going to interact and be entertaining. I mean, I just think he's going to be a huge fan favorite here in Chicago.
Like just to continue this point, as you continue to give thumbs up, Adam Hoge, on YouTube if you're watching. Like he carries himself with confidence. We spent a lot of time, like we all became body language experts because of the Jay Cutler era, right? Like we spent a lot of time reading that, like getting a feel for players, for staff members, for coaches, right? For GMs.
It just happened with Justin too. Yes. I mean, Justin coming in 1 week happy, not the next. Like it was just.
But you get a feel for the confidence there. Like it almost parallels like the confidence that Ryan Poles often exudes when he's talking. Like he's not always trying to hide something. Not everything's a state secret for Ryan Poles. Like he talked so openly and candidly about Caleb Williams before this election. Like to me, that was something too. Again, it speaks to confidence. I think Caleb brings that. Roma Dunze too.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
If you're like me, you believe there needs to be more stylish, functional, business casual menswear that is both high quality and durable that can withstand your day. I'm talking about maybe hanging out in the press box, watching the game later with your friends, maybe getting a quick nine holes in. That's why men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, and blazers. They look great as individual pieces, maybe with a Hogan Johns polo or quarter zip, but they also work seamlessly together. Roan's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere from your commute to work to the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. Roan's commuter collection features wrinkle release technology and is 100% machine washable. Looking good is that easy. The commuter collection can get you through any workday and straight into whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam and use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to rhone.com/Adam and use code Adam. It's time to find your corner office comfort.
Yeah, the other thing, Ho, going to the fan reaction, I think what's fun about this for fans is they've watched these guys in college, right? This isn't like, you know, Justin Fields is like that. I think a lot of the excitement was everybody had watched Justin Fields, especially in Chicago, a lot of Ohio State people, a lot of people had seen what he did in college. So that led to a lot of the excitement. But you go through some of these players, I'm going to talk about the draft history again, but like nobody was watching Kevin White. Nobody's watching Anthony Miller, right? You go through some of the guys, nobody was watching like Jervon Dexter, good player. But like, it's not like people are grinding tape on Florida interior and defensive linemen. Like Roma Dunze, if you go back at last year's college football season and you look at the top five non-quarterbacks that college football fans could name and watch and enjoyed watching, he's probably in there, right? So I think there's just extra excitement. Like, oh, we already know this guy's good. We watched him on Saturdays and now he's on our team. It adds to it. It's not this like projection that you're trusting the team that you root for. Like, oh, well, you're going to have to go download those Ashland University Division II games to see what this guy did. Like, oh, no, this guy was in the college football playoff and was really, really good.
Yeah, I think the two teams that qualified for that last year in terms of like sort of the casual football or college football fan jumping on late in the season, Washington and Texas, right? And then like you're watching those games, you just realize like, holy shit, these two teams, they got a lot of NFL talent here. And then you sort of just gravitate towards, you know, them in the draft process then over the next 4 months. I think Roma Dunze was right at the top of that list. And obviously for the Atlanta Falcons, so was Michael Penix Jr. Just so wild. I still can't believe that happened. Last thing, and then I kind of want to talk about, too, about today, obviously, and what might happen. But there's one more thing from Ryan Poles' press conference I wanted to bring up. And that was, I think it was Herb Howard who asked the question about just going back to sort of that confidence that you were just talking about, Johns, the openness and willingness to move on from mistakes. And he brought up Matt Ryan in his answer. And he played with Matt Ryan. They were college roommates. They've been friends forever. They were in each other's weddings. And he said that at some point Matt Ryan told him that, like, you can't fake it to the locker room. Like, the locker room knows. And Chase Claypool's name didn't come up in the question or the answer, but I think we all kind of knew the context of what the conversation was about. But even if, you know, you just picture the Chase Claypool situation, like, it wasn't going well. It was, they probably held on to him for an extra 2 weeks or an extra week than they really should have. But I think that's a perfect example of what Matt Ryan was telling Ryan Poles in that moment. Like, the locker room knows, like this isn't working. This isn't the guy. And if you're going to be authentic, this is not what Ryan Poles was saying. I'm paraphrasing. If you're going to be authentic and you hold players accountable for mistakes and things like that, like, the GM has to do it too, because they're not dumb in the locker room. They know a mistake when they see one, and you're being a hypocrite if you don't, you know, do something about it. So I think that willingness to move on and show, you know, humility through some of those mistakes too is a quality of a good GM. And I think Ryan Poles has that too.
Well, I think an extension of that is even Poles, like, we've all felt this Caleb Williams selection is coming, right? But, like, he was asked, when was the final decision made? And he said it wasn't until the 30 visit to Hallis Hall. We were talking about that locker room, guys that fit in that locker room, the players who know, right? That dinner that he had with DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, TJ Edwards, and others. Like, the feedback that he got from those players, as you said, the locker room knows. Like, that solidified his decision-making. And we all knew where it was going. Justin Fields has been traded at this point. But that probably gave him the final assurances that he needed to be like, okay, we're moving ahead with this pick. Like, Caleb Williams can walk into our locker room and this will work.
I don't know if you guys happen to see the interview we did with Cole Kmet earlier this week, but there was a moment in that interview that I thought was, like, really raw, where Cole said he actually felt he came out of that dinner with Caleb feeling bad about some of the preconceived notions that he had about Caleb, which, one, confirms that that was a real thing. Like, that was a real thing that kind of had to be overcome. I think it also holds some credence to, you know, credit to the Bears and Ryan Poles or Matt Eberflus for coming up with that idea to be like, at this point, like, we need him to go have dinner with his future teammates to see how it all goes. And then obviously Caleb passed the test. If Cole is, you know, admitting, like, yeah, I had some preconceived notions, and then I came out of that dinner feeling bad about that, because it just goes to show that some of the stuff you see publicly or on social media doesn't accurately represent who a person really is.
He was throwing with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen before he was drafted.
And Roma Dunze, apparently.
Yeah. Just meant to be.
That's meant crazy.
Things like this don't happen to the Chicago Bears.
You guys remember the day after, or the end of season press conference, when we asked Ryan Poles about quarterback, and he kept saying the person. He kept emphasizing, we want to know about the person. We trust our ability to evaluate football, but we've got to know the person. And this doesn't mean the Bears got it right. It doesn't mean that, like, everything is going to work out perfectly, but you know that they have full trust that this is going to work. Because if there were doubts about him, then they just trade back one spot and would still get a really good quarterback. You know what? We saw six quarterbacks in the top 12, right? So, like, there would have been an opportunity there. And we all, and it's not just quarterback. We hear Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles talk about often passion for the game, passion for football. Like, that's such an important trait for them. And they did all this due diligence of Caleb Williams. Again, it doesn't mean it's going to work the way they expect it to, but I think there can be some trust and confidence and faith that these guys would not have made this selection if he did not pass every test they threw at him.
So let's talk a little bit about today then. So the Bears' next pick isn't until 75. 32 players taken to this point. 42, if the Bears don't move up, 42 come off the board before they even pick. That's a lot of players. I think that there's going to be some temptations if the right guy starts falling late second, early third, that maybe you want to move up. And I also sense some a little bit of urgency here to maximize this rookie window that they are now entering with Caleb Williams. They do have those multiple second picks, second round picks next year.
They have 9 selections in next year's draft.
I could see a trade up at some point. I'm not saying a huge trade up, but I could see with this gap in picks, if the right person falls, maybe it's just moving up a little bit earlier in the third round. Like, maybe it's all the way up in the second. We'll see. But it would not completely shock me if, you know, that happens today, to just get one more dude that they truly believe in here. And maybe that's it. Maybe that includes the fourth rounder tomorrow. And they're just like, we got 3 guys we really wanted. Let's go have a weekend.
I'm trying to I like that line of thinking, Hoag. And my question would be, who is that player? Because it's not going to be a quarterback, obviously. It's not going to be a wide receiver. So I feel like edge would be, in terms, is the type of position you go move up for an edge rusher, especially if he's going to start for you. I'm looking at Dane Brugler's big board here. Is a Marshawn Nealon that guy? Like, is he? Because again, I'm looking at, like, is that position kind of falls off? Like, it was already not a strong group heading in. And I think we've talked about a lot of the guys in that round 2, round 3 range, like an Austin Booker, Jonah Ellis, you know. So I don't know Adisa Isaac from Penn State. Like, Nealon, just based on Dane Brugler's scouting reports, he had him 32nd overall. Like, he might be the guy, or do you trade up for an offensive tackle? Or center. Is the 3 technique so important, center? So I'm just trying to figure out, like, is there that player worth moving up for? Like, who that guy would be?
Yeah.
I thought Graham Barton, by the way, if he had, for whatever reason, fallen out of the first round, like, he seems to be every football guy's favorite player in this draft, right? So, like, he was one I was thinking of. But Jackson Powers-Johnson still is available, right?
Zach,
that
Frazier
would surprise me. That shocked me that he fell out of the first round.
Zach Frazier's an interesting one. He seems to make a lot of sense. I don't know about the offensive tackles, if there's, because then that goes back over what we're talking about, Braxton Jones, right? If you trade up for offensive tackle in round 2, that's your new left tackle, presumably.
We got a super chat here from Back in Point. Any chance the Bears go get JPJ, Jackson Powers Johnson?
I mean, if they do, I think you'll see another party. It's like sort of like where they were at when Roma Dunze was still on the board. I feel like going into day 2, Jackson Powers Johnson's like kind of that fan favorite that, if he ends up as a Bear too today, like, it's just,
yeah. Do you care they gave up a 5th round pick for Ryan Bates? Like, I know that, like, that should not guarantee Ryan Bates a starting job, and I think we've all been talking about that in that way. But, like, are you a little like, oh man, we just gave up a 5th round pick for, like, a backup?
Well, no, because if you draft a 5th round pick and he turns out to be a good backup, I think you're okay with that.
And, yeah. And the other thing too is Ryan Bates, I think, does allow you some flexibility where if you take a center today, he does not have to start week 1. He could compete with Bates. If Bates wins the job, great. And then this guy could take over whenever he's ready.
I feel like if you draft a center today, your interior depth just looks so much better to me. Because that's my question right now. Like, I think the Bates move is the biggest gamble that Ryan Poles has made this offseason. You're talking about a guy who was a backup in Buffalo, and played guard when he actually did play. Like, his snaps at center were extremely limited. It's a projection. It's somebody that you, his contract he has because of you, because he was a restricted free agent and you gave him that offer sheet. And after 2 years of like still not being a guy that the Bills wanted to hang on to, you're telling the fan base like, this is our answer at center. Like, I just think it may work out. I just think in terms of the moves that have been made this offseason, it's the one you probably question the most. And I just feel like, I mean, Jackson Powers Johnson feels like a pipe dream still at this point, like with the Bears picking at 75, it'd take probably a big move up. But if you added a guy like that, even if you go farther down the list, like a Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin or something later, like you pick him at 75, you don't move up. I just feel like the whole interior looks better because Bates can play guard. You know, you do have Coleman Shelton in there too, but he's probably a backup, not a starter. But at least you have depth there behind guys like Tevin Jenkins, who you're worried if they, you know, he can play 17 games.
But at least Shelton was a 2 year starter the past two seasons for the Rams. Same tree of offense, right? That's where Shane Waldron came from. There's obviously connections there. And if he's your backup center, looks better already. I think the focus has to shift to improving that pass rush, whether that comes from the outside or the inside. Like, that has to be the next move. The Bears, as we've said multiple times on the show, only one team had fewer sacks than them. They had the worst sack rate percentage in the entire league. They need help up front. They really do.
And I think, too, Johnsy, to that point, you look at the defensive tackles who are available today, like, there's going to be a run, you would think, on those guys. Going back to Brugger's big board, I mean, is Chris Jenkins Michigan? Did he get drafted last night? This is what happens. Like, you just don't.
No, yeah, don't pay it gets crazy. No, Jenkins is still there. Yeah.
Rook Orohoho? Orohoho?
Yeah, I think it's just Orohoho.
Clemson? Orohoho?
Orohoho. I think it's Orohoho.
It's a great name. Mike Hall, Ohio State, Mason That's Smith, one, LSU.
Hall is one guy that I feel like of the possible three techniques left in this draft would be a really good fit if they could somehow figure out getting him tonight.
Yeah, he was really good at the Senior Bowl. Brandon Fisk, Florida State. I know we've talked about Brandon Dorlus, Oregon. Like, any of those guys probably make a lot of sense because that position to me is still more glaring, the three tech, than edge, because you do have DeMarcus Walker. It's not like, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world that he would be your starter opposite Montez Sweat for week one.
Right. But generally speaking, I think we can all agree it's the pass rush needs help. It needs an addition in some capacity. I say this draft for number 75 or earlier.
Yeah. If Austin Booker from Kansas is there, I love that pick there. I think he's going to take a little bit of time with development. But again, it's like the Roma Dunze thing. Like, with Montez Sweat on this team, you don't need to draft a guy in the second or third round and be like, all right, dude, you're our number one pass rusher. Go get him. Like, go take those double teams. No, I mean, like, you can ease those guys in there a little bit and be okay. But it is very interesting. Like, when you zoom out here, Two of these top nine picks you added to your offense. Like, there hasn't been a lot of attention on defense this offseason. They haven't replaced Justin Jones still, which I think is a glaring, like, regardless of how you feel like they need a defensive tackle or not, like, Justin Jones was a very solid rotational guy who got a healthy contract from the Arizona Cardinals, and that they have not replaced that guy yet.
Here's a name for you. Would you trade up for Johnny Newton from Illinois?
That's a guy.
Oh, okay, Chris Collinsworth.
There's a guy.
There's a guy. So that is like sort of the Eddie Jackson thing, right? So obviously I think the medicals are pushing Johnny Newton down. I think there's concerns about the foot being a 300-pound guy with tiny issues with tiny bones in your feet is understandably a concern for teams. But there's got to be a threshold there where you're like, man, this guy's still available late second round. Like, and you become a little bit more willing to take that risk on. And that's like what happened with Eddie Jackson falling all the way to the fourth. It does happen. Like, I'm not saying Johnny Newton's still going to be there at 75, but every year there's a player like that where it's like, why is this guy still available? What's the real story here? And then maybe you just take him anyway at a certain point. You're like, oh, well, that guy just turned out to be a really good player, like we all thought.
Hogue, have you watched tape of Malik Mustafa?
A little bit.
Wake Forest. Obviously, yeah. The Bears probably aren't going to draft him, but he's that other football guy's football guy. I feel like Nate Tice has talked about him. And like, if he's as like cool of a chess piece, like I wonder if Eberflus is like, yeah, Mustafa. I'm going to call him Simba.
Mustafa. That's another great all-name team. By the way, our guy Bo Wolf did that story again this week with
all the great names.
All the great names in the draft. Like one of them was like most likely to be delicious. And it was like all the guys that were just like had food in their names. So funny. All right. Well, I still can't believe Caleb Williams and Roman Dunes, they're both Chicago Bears.
We got one more super chat.
Oh, we do. Okay.
And exactly that from Alex. Yeah. Still can't believe we got Rome too.
It's, you said it best earlier, John's in the show. Like, this is not what happens to the Bears.
And it did.
In Chicago, Rome was built in a day.
It's time to go, Adam.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the time for us to go. All right. You guys back at Hal's today?
We'll be there.
All right, so Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, both speaking to the media. I think it's supposed to start at 4, correct?
Yep.
So they will be at Hallis Hall today. And I think Lincoln Riley's popping in.
6:30 p.m., middle of the second round.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. I guess it's 4:30 back out in L.A. It'd be another fun day. We'll see what the Bears do. They got at least one pick. Will they move up? They move back. Who knows? It'll be an interesting day. We'll see who else ends up on the Chicago Bears. Appreciate everybody watching, listening. Please rate, review the podcast. Please hit subscribe. Please hit that like button. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, at K Fishbane. And of course, our show account at Hogue and Johns as well. There's new merch up too on obviousshirts.com with last night's events. And I think a couple of those are going to be added to our collection at HoganJohns.com. So go check them out. Hogan, it might not quite be there yet. In fact, I have some text here. I got to answer to figure that out, but I think we're going to have some merch there for you too at HoganJohns.com. That's new. So go get it. Last thing is I just want to say thank you to everybody who's reached out with kind words the last few days. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks to John Z2 and Kevin for kind of moving some things around this week, and appreciate you guys.
Got you, man.
We will see what happens tonight. It'll be fun. Again, tickets still available if you want to come out to Joe's on Wheat Street tonight. Should be another fun night of activity with the draft. Come celebrate Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze being a Chicago Bear. We will talk to you when this draft is over.
See ya.
In Chicago, Rome was built in a day.